It's time for Talks About Tech Weekly, episode 49, recorded on the 18th of November, 2012. Hello, everybody. You're very welcome to Talks About Tech Weekly. This is episode 49 today. I am your host, Michael McAndrew, and I am joined today by Kevin McAndrew.
Hello.
Of Space News Today. How's the show coming along for you?
It's pretty good now, so.
Well, that is good. So I had a bit of a buzz noise there, sorry. Have you released it yet, or are you still working on it?
I haven't released it yet, but I'm still working on it. I have a couple of pages yet to do on it, so that should be interesting.
That is good. So definitely check out Space News Today when it comes up, and we'll stay updated there. I just want to just put in a quick word before we start about my YouTube channel. I have kind of neglected it for a little while, but I will be putting more videos up. I put my first video up in a long time up there just today about Battlefield 2 or Battlefield 3. And the first bit of news I want to talk about is PlanetSide 2. There's going to be a lot of gaming news because so many games are being released around this time. It's normally around the November timeframe where all the big FPS releases are due to take place, and PlanetSide 2 is no exception. Yeah, I've been playing PlanetSide 2 beta for quite a while now, and it's coming out in just 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You excited, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited, especially how I didn't get the beta.
Right.
And you got into
You're
the beta,
a bit too
though.
Lazy. You didn't even apply.
But you got into the beta, though.
I got into the beta a few weeks ago. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've really been enjoying it. However, I've only been really playing PlanetSide 2 on my own. And PlanetSide 2, if you do not know already, is kind of like this massively multiplayer FPS, first-person shooter. So, you know, you have World of Warcraft and the likes. These are games that have maybe thousands of people on a server, but they're, you know, a certain type of game style. Well, this is like any normal first-person shooter, like Battlefield 3, except you have this huge map of different worlds. There's three teams as well. You have, I can't remember the names of them, but you have three teams, and there are three kind of empires, and they're fighting against each other for, you know, conquering different lands and things like that. So it's like a huge constant battle that's going on, and it's really, really enjoyable. So, you know, I've been playing around with PlanetSide 2 for the beta for a while. It's coming out 2 days' time, the 20th of November. So we're definitely going to have some great fun, me and Kevin. When Kevin finally gets the game, we'll be playing some PlanetSide 2. We'll be putting some videos up on my YouTube channel. So that's going to be good fun. Mm-hmm. You looking forward to PlanetSide 2?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It looks like a very good game, and it's gotten great reviews as well.
You know, the graphics is really good. I have ran into a few problems. One, the biggest problem for me is, you know, using the map in PlanetSide 2 is probably one of the biggest things with the game, because you want to be able to navigate your way around the map, go to areas in, you know, areas that there is a lot of fighting going on, so it'll let you know which areas there is the most fighting going on. It'll come up with a little symbol, and you can go to those areas, and you can either attack or defend or things like that. And so, you know, that works really well. You can also, like, what is it, drop pod in?
Yeah.
So you kind of drop in. It's kind of cool. I think it's every 15 minutes you can do one of them.
Yeah. It used to be 30, but they've changed in the recent update.
Yeah, that's right. So the issue that I'm having is when I go into the map, I, you know, press M for my map, and I see what areas are going on. When I start to zoom out, my display goes black, completely black, and then after a few seconds, it'll come back on again, and then it will say something like, your graphics card is reset or something like that. So every single time that every single time that I go into the map, it does that. It's very, very annoying. And, you know, I have a very beefy card. I have the GTX 550 Ti GeForce graphics card in my machine. And, you know, so there shouldn't be any problem graphics-wise. I mean, I can play it in high settings, no problem. But the issue is, you know, my screen, my display keeps on going black. I don't know. Probably other people will have the same issue. I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. So then when it comes out in 2 days that the they'll have updated it and the problem will be gone. Because it's a big issue. Now, they're also saying that the final game will be able to play on most graphics cards as long as they are like 512 meg or over. And, you know, I've been getting kind of slow frame rates in comparison to what I get on a game like Battlefield 3. Battlefield 3, I get about 100 frames per second, and on Planetside 2, I'm getting about 40. So there's a big difference there. I suppose there are certain shortcuts you take to be able to get the game to perform better. What I mean by that is you hollow out shapes. So they're not solid objects, right? And, you know, that doesn't really make a difference to the shape itself, to the what it looks like, but it definitely makes a big difference to the performance of the game. So I think there are a few more performance issues. And, it's very important, I think, that PlanetSide 2 has all the kinks gone out of the game, you know, because it takes a amount of time for all of these bugs to be ironed out of it. And if it's too soon for them to be releasing the game, the problem is people are going to download it when it first comes out and they're going to say it's too buggy, it's too bad, and then they're going to leave it and they'll never see it again. But we all know it's going to be a good game. It's just, how long is it going to take for those bugs to be ironed out of it? So there are a few bugs. So anyway, back to the whole game itself, you can be in a number of different vehicles. Mm-hmm. So airplanes, tanks, things like that. And each empire has slightly different vehicles. They also have different weapons, like the Vanu. They're one empire. They actually have... their weapons do not have any, how would I say, bullet drop off. So you don't have to compensate for bullet drop off or bullet deviation. So like, for example, if there's a guy and he's about 2 miles away and you're trying to shoot him, if you aim directly at him, there's a chance the bullets will get there. They won't actually drop. Right, mm-hmm. So you don't have to like aim the gun higher or anything like that. So because they kind of shoot out laser beams, it's kind of cool. So you know, there's different weapons for different empires and things like that. So I really am looking forward to PlanetSide 2 coming in just a few days. It's going to be great, great fun, and I've had so much great fun already, even just playing on my own. You know, I thought when I was getting into PlanetSide 2 that there wasn't going to be that much action. But I can get straight into the action straight away. Like yesterday I was playing PlanetSide 2 and I joined a battle. There was literally 50 guys just going from base to base, attacking every base and taking out any resistance, as it were, that we encountered. And we just kept on going from base to base and conquering it. It was so much fun. I was in a Sunderer van. I like to call it a van. It's a vehicle. And I was taking out aircraft in the sky. And I'm taking out guys. They were running away from me. And I just, yeah. It was great. So what's your opinion on PlanetSide 2, Kevin?
Well, I actually haven't gotten to play it yet.
Oh, so yeah. I didn't really allow you to play it.
Anyone play it.
But you've seen the gameplay.
Yeah.
Now, it's very similar to what I have seen of the gameplay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's exactly what you're going to expect.
Yeah.
The graphics is very nice. It's not as good as Battlefield 3, but the color schemes especially. Very cool color schemes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, more gaming. We're going to do our gaming segment first. This is turning into a gaming show. But it is technology, I suppose. You know,
yeah.
Because every game needs to be programmed. And definitely the programming side behind PlanetSide 2 is fairly gigantic task. I mean, the amount of server real estate you're going to need because of being able to support up to 2,000 players on one server, for example, and to be able to keep the graphics up. You also need to have a huge Ethernet system set up, I suppose, to be able to, you know, take 2,000 players to be able to download their data and then send data back, updating their position on the server and things like that. So it's quite complicated, and especially on that kind of a mass scale and the amount of servers also. So that is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know what languages they use to actually write these games, Kevin?
I don't know, actually. Well, I know that Minecraft's programmed in Java, but I'd say a lot of them are programmed in C, C++, things like that.
C#. They might even use Blender.
No. Like, for example, Unity, you'd be using JavaScript and C#.
Right. So it's they're probably using something like that. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. Black Ops 2 is out, Kevin.
Hooray.
Are you excited?
Not really. For me, I used to love the Call of Duty franchise, and then I kind of moved over to Battlefield. Now, you see, the thing about Call of Duty is that it is sort of, it's a fast-paced game, and then there's other things like a lot of hackers, and compared to like Battlefield 3.
Right, because the Battlefield 3 community takes hackers so much more seriously.
Yeah.
Like, they instantly ban them. They're banned for life from playing the game and things like that.
Yeah.
So,
but, I don't know. Well, also, the other thing is they just take the same game, change up the theme of it a little, maybe increase the graphics. Everything else stays the same. New guns, things like that, new plot, new single player. That's all they do. It's basically the same game. You know, same sort of engine they've been using since about Call of Duty 4. They haven't even updated that either.
Yeah. I mean, the graphics, they are, while they are some way, you know, improved from from Call of Duty 4, well, what I really think is it just looks slightly more realistic.
Mm.
The animations are fairly, I think they're pretty much identical.
Yeah.
The only difference I see so far is, you know, different guns with different characteristics.
That's really it.
And different maps.
The game style has sort of changed as well with the perks and things.
Yeah, they've changed around, you know, some of the perks, some of the ways that you, I suppose, play the game, really, in comparison to the first Black Ops. Because first Black Ops, I was not a big fan of at all. And I'm the same way with Modern Warfare 3. I don't think I've played it that often.
Yeah.
I think I played it 5 times, I want to say.
Modern Warfare 3? We actually have it, but...
Yeah, I have it on my computer.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time I've played it is.
Yeah, you know, the problem with these games is the maps are very small. And that's, you know, I've grown to love Battlefield 3. It's kind of more of a strategic first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the type of game I like. Now, Call of Duty is a completely different type of first-person shooter, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not necessarily better or worse. It's just I've grown to prefer Battlefield 3. It takes a lot more skill to play Battlefield 3, whereas with Call of Duty, anyone can be good. Anybody can be good. You know, so that's what I think about it. They have changed around, you know, characteristics of weapons and things like that. But again, it's very easy to counteract recoil. Pretty much all the guns have non-existent recoil.
Yeah.
in comparison to Battlefield
3. Yeah, that's another thing. Like in Battlefield 3, for example, the M249 is just crazy amount of recoil. I don't think you'd ever get that in any Call of Duty game. Plus, with the snipers, you usually, when you have the scope, when you scope in and then you, it's bolt action, you can always be zoomed in. But in Battlefield 3, you have to zoom out and then do the action and then zoom back in, which adds a little bit more skill unless you have one of the attachments. So, again, there's different things between the games like that yeah. just make it slightly less of a challenge to get more kills and things like that. So
there's a few things I think that makes Call of Duty just seem a bit strange, like the map size. In Call of Duty 4, they got the map size spot on.
Yeah.
Right? There was a lot more open warfare. You mm-hmm. know, you weren't just like closed in and there was one path. And or a few paths that you could take, and you're going to meet people along those paths, and you're kind of closed in, right? Mm-hmm. It was a lot more open. There was multiple paths you could take, and that's what makes a good map.
Yeah.
And also, you know, textures and the way that it's structured. The other thing I find strange with Call of Duty in comparison to Battlefield 3 is all the buildings seem so much bigger. So it's kind of like you're about 3 or 4 foot tall, and all the buildings are like huge around you. It's
yeah.
In comparison to other games, I think they've kind of got the scale of it slightly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a good game. It's still a great game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just preferring Battlefield 3 at the moment, and soon to be PlanetSide 2.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a great free to play game also.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can, of course, put money into it, and you can buy credits to buy certain weapons and things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Sorry, were you going to add something there, Kevin?
Also, in Call of Duty, you don't have, it's just all infantry gameplay. You don't have any vehicles or anything like that. And Battlefield 3, that's a big thing because the maps are so big, you have to use vehicles to get around. And then you also have an extra class, which is the engineer. And instead of just having an RPG running around with it in Call of Duty, blowing people up, because it's sort of overpowered in that way, it's much more useful to go blow tanks up, you know. And also the same with C4, going around just planting it on different things, waiting for people to come and then blowing it up. Because there's more of a strategic way of doing it in Battlefield, because, for example, if you want to take out a tank, you have to either get C4 and you have to kind of maneuver around it and things and try and place a C4 on it, or if you have a rocket, then you have to actually take a couple of shots at the tank. And Call of Duty actually tried this. They tried to put in vehicles. Remember that, Michael?
Yeah, in
World at War.
World at War, that was
interesting.
The vehicles were unresponsive.
I mean,
like the way the turret moved and things like that. Like the vehicles in World at War were the exact same as the vehicles in the single player.
Yeah.
Campaign, which were just, you know, ridiculous. You know, in comparison.
Yeah.
So the vehicles definitely did not work out in Call of Duty.
And also they only had it on one map and they only had a tank. And in Battlefield they have multiple different types of tanks, BMPs, AA guns, then they have jets, helicopters, you know, all these different vehicles. They even have an AC-130 in it. And it's not a killstreak. Instead of being a kill streak, it's an actual proper vehicle.
Right.
Because in Call of Duty, if you had a helicopter, whoever was in the helicopter would probably murder the other team. And that's the thing. Battlefield 3, it's much harder to murder the other team when you're in a helicopter or a jet. You know? So I don't know. I think Battlefield 3 have just gotten it right. And I don't think
it's a bit of a more balanced game as well, with, you know, kill streaks and perks and you know, with certain kill streaks you can absolutely, you can kill like loads of people.
Yeah.
And it's more based on how lucky you are, if they pick you to kill you, basically, you know.
But then in Call of Duty also you have what was I gonna say? My mind just blanked.
Mind blank.
Must
be tired.
Yeah. What was I going to say?
Something about Call of Duty.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It'll come back to you. We'll go on and we'll talk about
Yes.
Oh, wait. No, it's coming back.
In Black Ops, people were like, thank God for Black Ops 2, because in Modern Warfare 3, Modern Warfare 2, Black Ops, Call of Duty 4, you know, all those ones.
Right.
They all rewarded you for dying. Why? Why would they reward you for dying? I don't get it.
They rewarded you. Oh, yeah. There was actually death streaks. Yeah, so, yeah.
And then, so, for example, if you died a load of times, then the person that was doing really well, it would be harder for them to kill you. So, you know, but they fixed it in Black Ops 2.
That's
too,
right.
Though, so.
Yeah, yeah. Death streaks. Yeah. Yeah.
And then also, if there's someone doing really bad, why would you reward the person that's doing good? Because then the person that's doing good is just going to absolutely hammer them even more.
Right. Yeah. And
it's just sort of, I don't get kill streaks.
There was also if you killed yourself in it.
Oh,
you had to kill yourself like 5 times and you unlocked some achievement or something. Mm. You know, it's strange things strange. In the game.
Like, why would you do that, sort of?
But Black Ops 2, anyway, so far, according to the reviews, it's people have been saying it's the best Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So far, especially with zombies, you know, everyone just gets it for zombies. And, you know, in the original Black Ops zombies, yeah, it was good. After a while, though, you know, it's only a few maps, and they really should have had like 10 or 20 maps that you could just play. Mm-hmm. Of zombies, that'd be cool.
But
they also added in Nuketown 2025.
Yeah, that's if you pre-ordered it, though.
Yeah, yeah, that is cool. I would really like to play that. I mean, it just looks like exactly the same as Nuketown, except more futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of futuristic retro. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So what were you gonna say? Sorry, Kevin.
Mind blanked again.
Oh, not some mind blanks today. So, the Wii U in review.
Yeah.
It's out. It's out now in time for Christmas.
Thank God.
The Wii has been out for, how long has it been out, Kevin?
Long
time. When did we get our Wii?
We got it when I was about. So, let me think here. About 5 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, so you're about 7 years old.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. That's a long time ago.
5 or 6 years
ago. So the Wii is a very old
device.
It's a very old console. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was standard definition. That was the biggest issue with it. I mean, graphics-wise, it wasn't that good. I mean, it couldn't play any of the graphics intensive games. And also it was standard definition.
Yeah, it came out with Call of Duty and things and the graphics on it. It was terrible. How could you play it, you know? But, you know, the Wii is a great device. You know, like the games on it, it was a very good idea. And then I think PlayStation tried to do it as well. Do you see there sort of shaking things? It was like a glow stick on. It had like a ball at the top and you held it. Did you see that? It's sort of like the Wii.
That was the PlayStation Move.
Yeah, I think so.
That was what it was. PlayStation Move. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was that was interesting. And then the Kinect came out.
Yeah.
And the Kinect kind of changed it all, I suppose. But the Wii was kind of the fundamental idea of using your body.
Yeah.
And now we're using Kinect in a lot of different ways. But the Wii U is out.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing is, it's HD.
Yes.
Thumbs up there. Graphics is definitely much improved. I've seen games that, pretty graphics intensive games running on this thing. FIFA runs very well. And I've seen some, like, you know, graphics intensive games like Assassin's Creed and a few of those playing on it. Now, it comes, there's two packages, I believe.
There's the deluxe and standard.
Right. So you've got, let me just do a search here for the Wii U. So could you explain a bit about the controller?
Yeah, the controller is actually a touch screen, which is pretty cool. And it's sort of like an Xbox controller with a screen in the middle. And what they use this for is, for example, you hold it out like this and you can like swipe across it and it has like ninja stars and it interacts with the screen. Or if you're playing a game like Zelda or something and your family wants to watch the TV, all you need to do is switch it onto your controller and you can bring it around the house or just have a look at it there on the screen.
Right.
And you know, other people can be doing other things with the normal TV screen. So, yeah, the new controller is really cool. But, you know, people are like, yeah, it's not really a Wii anymore. Because a lot of people got the Wii because it's, like, keeping more active and you have to move around and things. And now they're bringing out this controller and you're sort of like, yeah, it's the Wii gone.
So. Yeah, so, okay. There is a few things that are a bit strange about this, okay? So you've got your basic pack. That's €320.
Yeah.
That comes with the Wii U console and that very interesting touchscreen controller. And then you've got the premium pack, okay? And the premium pack has got... it's, what's the difference? It's got a black one.
Yeah.
Well, it's got 32 gigabytes of memory in comparison to mm-hmm. 8 gigabytes of memory on the standard one. You know, there's a few other things that come with it. You get the... I mean, it's just... you're paying a little bit extra for the extra memory, really. It's mm-hmm. like the difference between the Xbox 360 Elite and, well, back in the day, the Elite and the Arcade. Right. And so it comes with this, you know, controller, but you have to have the standard Wiimote
mm-hmm.
in order to control it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come with it. So you mm-hmm. have to buy the Wiimote separately.
It's sort of interesting.
Okay. So if you, they're probably presuming everybody has a Wii already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to buy the Wiimote separately, okay? Then there is also, I'm looking at this, the Wii U Limited Edition Zombie U Premium Pack for €420. And that has, it comes with Zombie U. That sounds fun.
I know that.
And yeah, so you've got a number of different controllers as well. You've got a kind of a classic style controller.
Mm-hmm.
And but it doesn't really look similar to that many other, you know, like mm-hmm. Xbox controllers. It's a different layout.
It also comes with the screen. It has a front-facing camera. It has an accelerometer and gyroscope.
It's kind of like its own portable console type thing.
Yeah.
Now, I've looked at the reviews. I haven't even tried this thing out yet. But I've seen reviews and people, the complaints that people have been making is that it's kind of one stage you're looking on the controller and then it'll say look up at the screen and then it'll go back to looking at the controller. And then in other games it's just a mirror image of the game.
Yeah.
So you might as well just look down at the console rather than actually looking at the TV,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you know, I think something more like the DS, where they had like a map of the area, or, you know, something that gives you kind of a third person view of what you're doing, and then on the TV is the first person view. I think that's a better way. You know, there, people are going to come up with plenty of different ways of using this screen. But for the moment, people aren't really taking much advantage of the extra screen with the controller. So that's something that's interesting. Also, people have been complaining with the kind of classic style controller is that the most used button is the A button, and that's normally on the bottom. But on this case, it's on the right. So you might, by accident, press the button on the bottom. So people are finding that annoying also. But, you know, I think the Wii U has a lot to offer.
Yeah.
Especially with the improved graphics, it means there's a lot more possibilities for the console. It also has, you know, well, it's said that it was going to have Netflix and Hulu and all those, you know, just very similar to the Xbox. So you'd be able to use it as a content device also.
Yeah.
So you'd be able to kind of watch TV. But it has, they haven't come yet to the Wii U. They're not available on the Wii U yet, unfortunately. So, you know, I think the Wii U is a very nice device, but see, for me, see, I'm speaking for myself. And I wouldn't buy it because I've gotten more recently, I've gotten more into the PC gaming. I rarely play Xbox. I play Xbox for Forza 4. That's what I play Xbox for anymore. And any other games, I play on the PC. Reason why I play, for example, Battlefield 3 on the PC is because you have so much more control with the mouse and keyboard. I mean, if someone is behind you, shooting behind you, all you have to do is flick the mouse very quickly and you're able to shoot at, shoot back, return fire. Whereas on the Xbox, the analog sticks are painfully slow. And they are a bit inaccurate. You know, it's more difficult to counteract recoil. You basically don't have as much control. That's what I think, anyway. Okay. I want to say that Anonymous, the hackers group, I suppose, they've hacked pretty much every website except ours. They've hacked pretty much every major website except TalkSpotTech.com. I mean, they've pretty much, they've hacked a lot of websites. I think mostly by brute force.
Yeah.
I think that's really the way they've done it. You know, just spamming, 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 spamming to bring it down. Well, what they've done is they have attacked Israeli websites in protest of attacks on Gaza. So they attacked the Bank of Jerusalem's website. They also attacked the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs, because of, you know, the attacks that have been going on in Gaza at the moment. Okay, these attacks on by Anonymous started to happen on Thursday. So I was reading, I was doing a bit of research into this, and they were, of course, I'm not quoting them, but they were saying basically how it is unfair for internet to be taken off people, and that they were really saying was that not on their watch, basically, that they, you know, it was what in their eyes unequal, you know, and it was human rights basically to have the internet, and that they're, you know, protesting. So what they did was they've actually taken down, according to Anonymous anyway, they've said that they've taken down 633 sites. They've also leaked a lot of information. That's going to do some damage, of course. And they have put together a care package. Okay, so a care package. This is very funny. So you can download it, right? So this is for people living in Gaza. They can download it in case that the internet is severed.
Yeah.
Now, this will actually give you a certain number of things to help you. That's what they've done. So it's kind of a clever thing. And so Anonymous are back on the news. They're back on the tech news. They hacked, they hacked Twitter, they hacked Dropbox, they hacked Well, I think so anyway. I don't want to be accusing them of not of hacking it, but if they didn't. But they hacked a lot of major websites.
Yeah.
In the past, so okay, I want to take just a quick break to talk about the Amazon affiliate link. So it's coming up to Christmas, Black Friday in the US. Maybe you want to buy that new Wii U. Maybe you want to buy Black Ops.
Yeah.
And you might want to, you know, check out Amazon because they are they're very competitive prices. Shipping is very quick. It's easy to do. And if you're looking to buy at Amazon, we have an affiliate link. So what you can do is you can click on our affiliate link on the website or go to talksabouttech.com/Amazon. That will take you to the Amazon page, the Amazon homepage, and you can continue with your shopping. So you can buy Black Ops and the Wii U. Zombie edition. Zombie U edition.
Zombie U edition, yeah.
For Christmas or for whatever you're getting it for. It's an excuse for a Christmas present. And,
yeah.
And, you know, you continue, you sign, you check out. And because you went to talksabouttech.com/Amazon, you are helping us out here at Talks About Tech. We get a small commission from that. That helps us to, you know, increase the quality of the show, get better video and better audio to you. Mm-hmm. So better quality in the show. So I thank you for your support for using our Amazon affiliate link. So Steven Sanofsky, he was the head of Windows 8. And just a few weeks ago, Windows 8 was released along with their RT tablet and a number of different devices by manufacturers such as HP, Dell, Lenovo,
mm-hmm.
with touchscreens and the likes. And he, Steven Sanofsky, just to give you a bit of background on him, he came in just before they started to develop Windows 7. So Vista was around, and he was the head of, you know, getting Windows 7 out there, making sure that it was improved upon Vista.
Yeah.
And it's been a great success. So then he decided he was going to take on the task of Windows 8. And I think he was more towards looking at the whole desktop point of view. That's what I've been hearing anyway, is that any kind of desktop-oriented aspects of Windows 8 were his input, or at least someone who had it, he had influenced, right? So that's all I've heard people are saying. And, you know, he went on and he took on the Windows 8 project and he got it out on time. Because Windows Vista actually came out quite late.
Yeah.
Quite overdue. And Windows 7 was on time. Windows 8 was on time. It was great. And so just a few weeks in, he decides he's going to resign. And, you know, Steve Ballmer's response to this was, you know, people were asking in the media, why did he resign? Why did he resign? Steve Ballmer said he wanted to do, I'm going to quote, let me see here. Yeah, Steven has some things he wants to do in life. Okay, that's something interesting. Is he not? Oh, okay, that's interesting. So this is, I mean, kind of leaving Microsoft stranded.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the worst time because the bugs are going to be coming in, you know, people are going to be giving feedback on what they need to improve on, and if they don't have a leader, you know...
What are they going
to
do?
Yeah, so they're going to have to get a replacement fairly quick.
Yeah. Hopefully they will now, because if Windows 8 turns out to be... If there turns out to be a lot of bugs and things that people are finding or something like that, yeah, as you said, that could be a really big bad thing, I guess, for Windows. And if they don't find... if they don't actually find... what's the word? if they don't find the leader fast, those bugs mightn't get fixed, and it might give a bad name to Windows. So hopefully they do.
Yeah, there's going to be some effects. I mean, how is this going to directly affect Microsoft, I suppose?
Yeah.
It's not going to be good.
No.
Unlucky for them. Yeah. You know, people have been saying, oh, well, this is almost an identical case to the Scott Forstall case in Apple just a few weeks ago. I don't think so. People were saying, oh, well, he was a pain, just like Scott Forstall and all this, and that it was pretty much an identical case, right? It's like, oh, this is Scott Forstall again.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, there's no proof. There's nothing to prove this. But obviously, you know, Steve Ballmer, he said we can take his word, I suppose, that he has some things he wants to do. So I can't comment on if he was a pain or not, or if, you know, I can't comment on that because I do not know. I think it was more of just a rumor, you know. So, yeah. How valuable was he to Microsoft? That's another question. Was he a key person in there, do you think, Kevin?
I'd say he would, especially as he was the head of Windows 8.
Yeah. You know? Apparently there was a lot of fighting going on as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like fighting as such, but it was disputes over Windows being brought to the front.
Yeah.
Windows being the main Microsoft product. Whereas Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates shared the same idea of all the products integrating together to make this united experience. Whereas he didn't really agree with that. He believed Windows should be like the main big product of Microsoft, and that he wanted a bit more power on influence over influence over Windows and things like that. So there was that kind of thing going on there. You know, I don't think he was that huge of a figure, though, because he didn't really have that much power over, you know, the whole marketing of Windows as such. That wasn't he was just there to see that the project went through, I suppose. So, okay, Xbox, more Microsoft stuff. Xbox Smart Glass. Now, this is an app that I don't know how I came across it. I do my daily read of the latest tech news, and I saw this app. I was like, wow, this thing sounds cool because I have an Xbox. And what it actually allows you to do is interact with your Xbox 360 using your iPhone. Right? So I downloaded it. It's an official app from Microsoft, just to let you know. So what you do is you actually sign in using your Xbox Live account. So when you do your annual update of Xbox Live, you pay for it and whatever, €50 or whatever it is you pay for, or you pay, you use your Windows Live account to do that. So you use the same account, and it will then find your Xbox and sync with it. What you can do is you can browse movies, okay? It's essentially like a controller. You can browse movies. It's a screen. So you browse the movies on the phone, you click on the one, and it'll come up on the big TV screen. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Videos, music. You're even able to interact with your friends. You're able to start, you know, parties and chats and whatever using this. You can even play games. I just want to show you the get it up here. It's the screenshot that they took of being able to play games on the. Let me see. Can I get that up on the iPhone using it as a controller? So there it is. Okay, so you can see there that you've got different colored keys. The red one is the B key, the yellow one is the Y key, and the blue one is the X key. This is really funny. So it's full screen, obviously, and you can press those keys. And it says then, it says swipe to move and hold to move faster. So you kind of, it's kind of like a trackpad type thing. And if you just tap once, it selects A. So that's interesting. So that's how they've decided to do it. Can I see this being a good way of controlling in any games, Kevin? Any games that you think that would come in handy? I was thinking maybe, car games, because you get your accelerometer. But it doesn't work like that, because it's just, you know, with your finger. But in the future, if they add in an accelerometer, so you can control, you can play, you know, Forza 4 with your phone using the accelerometer, and that would be very cool. That's definitely got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
But any games you think that would be better using that over the Xbox 360 controller? See, most games are really kind of designed for the Xbox 360 controller anyway.
Well, you see, what do you prefer, Michael? Do you prefer a physical keyboard or a touch screen, if you want to call it a keyboard?
True. I prefer the physical.
Yeah. So I don't think it would help with any game, really, unless they came out with a... or if you had, for example, if you wanted to go over to your friend's house instead of bringing your controller, you can just bring your phone. But if they brought out the accelerometer with certain games, like car games, that would be brilliant. I think it would help a lot. Now, they do have the Kinect with some car games as well. That's pretty cool. Like, if you move your head like that, it moves the viewing angle and different things like that. But
so integrate that, this app with the Kinect, and you've got some killer controller there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think if they did bring out the accelerometer, and I hope they do, I think it would be great, you know.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of potential for this app, you know, in the future. You know, it has to be improved on. Functionality, although it really, what it's designed for is browsing for movies, because the Xbox has been really pushed as a content viewing device. Yeah. So it's like a solution to Sky TV here in Ireland, right? You can view Netflix. Netflix is in Ireland now, right? So you can get all movies and TV shows. You can download or rent movies from the Zoom store. And I think that's really what this is geared towards, kind of a remote for that, because the Xbox 360 controller isn't really ideal for a home entertainment system.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the iPhone comes in. You know, I do have a lot of old iPod Touches as well, so I could leave one of those iPod Touches as a dedicated remote.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant. So that's really cool. I think there's definitely a lot of potential. And even as a game controller, as long as they, you know, they bring in the accelerometer, be great for car games. Mm-hmm. Just thinking, you know, great for car games. Okay, I have been, you know, messing around with Final Cut Pro recently, and I really am enjoying it. I've been doing, for example, my most recent Battlefield 3 video.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using Final Cut Pro. You know, it's I just am using the trial, you know, testing it out to see should I buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really enjoying it. It's fantastic piece of kit. I previously, you know, was trying out Premiere Pro as well, because I'm looking for a good video editor, like that I can very quickly drag in my hour-long video, quickly edit down the points I need to edit, put in overlays if I need to, put in audio. Audio is the key. What I need is good audio effects, okay? So I can add in compression, I can add in limiters, gates, I can add in all that stuff to make the audio in post-production, make the audio sound better for the show, okay? And Final Cut Pro has it all. For me, I think Final Cut Pro 10 is brilliant. And the reason why is because I'm not really used to non-linear video editors. But for most video editors, they saw Premiere or Final Cut Pro 10 and they saw it and they went, whoa, that is completely different. And it is a lot different to Premiere Pro. I tried out Premiere Pro first and it's a completely different experience. With Final Cut Pro, it's more like iMovie. They've gotten rid of the multiple layers of videos and things like that. It's a lot more kind of simplified in that way, very similar to iMovie. But what all of these non-linear video editors have in common is keyboard shortcuts. They're killer because there's so many keyboard shortcuts that you have to learn off in order to be quick. Very, very quick at pushing out your content. And I think keyboard shortcuts are very important. You know, you've got one for cutting, for splitting a clip, one for deleting the selected clip, and, you know, so you can do it very quickly. But a keyboard isn't really designed for that. And there's been this project recently. It's called Control Plus Console. Very clever name. It's on Kickstarter at the moment. And what it is an application for the iPhone and for iPad that will interact with Final Cut Pro, Premiere Pro CS6, and applications like that, right? So non-linear video editors. It will allow you to, you know, get rid of those keyboard shortcuts and just use this. So what you can do is, for example, you can press play, press stop. I can actually get the video up here right now, and I can just be playing it as we go along right here. And it's very, very clever. What it allows you to do, you know, you can do, for example, cut. So you can cut a clip.
Mm-hmm.
You can step it frame by frame, so you can go frame by frame, and that's something that's probably my favorite part of this. You can see there's a circle thing there. If you, it's like a scroll wheel, right? So you can scroll frame by frame through it.
Mm-hmm.
It is so clever because you can get extreme. See, there it is in the video. You can get extreme accuracy because you need to cut at the exact right point. You can undo, you can redo. You can add in fades in and out and things like that. I mean, it's so powerful. You just press one button. You don't have to remember any of the keyboard shortcuts. So here it is. You can see, you can press play and pause or play and stop. You can, you know, do and undo and cut and, you know, scroll, take it frame by frame. Really very, very cool. So this is on, I can just show you here. This is on Kickstarter at the moment. They've pledged, or there's a pledge of 10,000 so far. Their goal is to get 35,000. There's 11 days to go on it. 256 backers. You know, it's a minimum of $1. It's five. If you pledge $5, you're going to get the app for free. And so I think it's definitely worth it if you're a video editor, because you know yourself, learning off all the keyboard shortcuts. I mean, keyboard shortcuts are essential to be able to put out video at a very fast rate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're not a video editor, you probably be like, ah, but you just click on the buttons. But it takes so much longer, especially if you're editing a long, long video. So this is definitely going to save a lot of time, and I think that this is a very, very good idea. A lot of video editors have been impressed by this, immensely impressed by it. I think it's a very good idea. So actually, there has been a lot of things in recent times using the iPhone and the iPad to control certain devices. For example, there's a professional video production system called a TriCaster, and a podcast that I listen to. The guys who do the podcast have used an Arduino. They've hooked it up to their TriCaster, because the TriCaster, even though it is a high performance video production kit, it's excuse me, at essence a Windows 7 computer.
Mm-hmm.
So they plugged in an Arduino and they ran a bit of software in the background in the TriCaster. They're able to control which camera they can switch from on the iPad. It's very, very cool. So right now I can switch between Kevin and the double shot and whatever using my keyboard, but they've done it with the iPad. This is great because the iPad is wireless, so you can take the iPad with you all around the studio, and as you're setting up cameras and things like that, you can just press to select that camera, you can check it, and then you can go around and select the other camera. Really cool. They also did it with audio, so you can adjust the levels on the audio mixer for mixing all the audio together on the iPad. So that's really, really cool. Something I'm very interested in as well. Okay. I think that's pretty much wraps it up there for today. I'd like to thank everyone for watching. Kevin McAndrew, thanks very much, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me in this episode. You can follow him on Twitter. Space news today. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So if you're into space, or if you really want to know more about space, but you don't know anything about space whatsoever, check it out, because I don't know anything about space. And I really do enjoy space news today. Okay. You can follow me on Twitter. Talks About Tech is the Twitter handle. Talksabouttech.com is my website. You can check it out. We record Talks About Tech weekly live every Saturday at 8 p.m. GMT. We changed it from Sunday to Saturday. Check it out. Next Saturday, we'll be here again at 8 p.m. to do another Talks About Tech weekly show. Very exciting. I'm very excited these days, you know. Woo, Talks About Tech. So, check that out as well. What else have I got to say? YouTube channel, Physics. Physics Gaming is my YouTube channel. FISIXSGAMING, if you don't know how to spell gaming. So, check that out as well. I put up lots of videos, Minecraft, Battlefield 3, PlanetSide 2 will be coming up as well, so check that out also. Okay, I think that pretty much wraps it up for today's show. We had some very interesting conversations about games, really. It's kind of more like a Talks About games. Weekly. But we did have some technology in there as well. Lots of technology as well. So it was kind of half and half, which is interesting. But really, games are also technology, really. Okay, so thank you everyone for watching or listening to this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. And until next time, goodbye.